everyone, and welcome to episode 569 of the MTG Goldfish Podcast. I'm Seth, probably better known as Saffron Olive, and we have the full crew here this week, kicking things off with the owner of MTG Goldfish, Richard. How are you this fine Monday, Richard?
Good morning, Seth. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And we also have another co-host in Graham. Happy New Year, Graham. How are you doing this morning?
Well, outside of being a little under the weather, Broncos number one seed. So I'm pretty happy about that. But yeah.
Oh no. That didn't work out good for my Bills. We gotta go all the way down to Jacksonville and the Bills. I will tell you, they're a cold weather team. Whenever we gotta go play in Florida, the Bills just get wrecked every time.
They're not used to the not cold weather.
They can't deal with the heat and the humidity of Florida. But anyway, today we got a fun one to kick off the new year. So we're kind of in this slow news time, right? Because it's the holidays, Lorwyn Eclipse spoilers kicking off later today as we're recording this. So we're gonna try something we haven't really done on the MTG Goldfish Podcast before. We're going to do a little tier listing today, and we're going to tier list Heat Bears, one of my favorite types of creatures in Magic. So we're going to rank some of the most interesting and iconic Heat Bears. But before we get into that, we got some sponsors today. Our show is brought to you by Card Conduit, the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip them with Card Conduit. You can use their curated service where you send in as many cards as you want with a buy list value of a dollar or more and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use their sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results and a fast payment once your order is processed. And you can even get another 10% off by heading over to cardconduit.com/mtg. Goldfish. Card Conduit, it's the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. Our show is also brought to you by Heavy Play, advanced gaming equipment. The RFG Deckbox Max features a clear window to showcase your commander while protecting your deck. Available in three different sizes to fit all your decks, including standard and commander decks. And the Equip Make system lets you attach optional dice boxes and even multiple decks together. Head over to HeavyPlay.com and use the code MTGGoldfish or use the code MTGGoldfish at checkout to save 10% off. So thank you to our sponsors for supporting the show. And let's talk some Magic. So as I mentioned before, we're going to do a tier list today, and we're going to tier rank Hate Bears. And if you don't know what a Hate Bear is, for our purposes today, a Hate Bear is a creature that has some sort of like hateful or staxy or disruptive ability, either a static ability, some cases activated ability. And because Hate Bears refers back to Grizzly Bears, all the things on our list today are 2-mana. They're not all exactly 2-mana 2/2s. The stats sometimes vary a little bit, but these are essentially 2-drop creatures that you can play to disrupt your opponent. And here is our criteria for this ranking. So we're looking at 4 different things as we rank these cards. First, hatefulness. So how much does this card actually disrupt a game? Is it a game warping effect or is it kind of a light effect? So that's number one. Number two is versatility. So is this a card that hates on a whole bunch of decks or is it more like a niche sideboard card that you bring in against one specific deck? Three is resilience. So some of these hate bears have abilities that make them harder to kill than others. And if you're going to play a hate bear, you want it to stick on the battlefield for a while. So if you're a hate bear that kind of protects yourself in some way, it makes you a little better than ones that don't. And finally, just play rate. Like, or is this a card that people actually play with? Or is this some like super niche fringe card that doesn't actually show up in practice in competitive Magic? And I should say, our focus is, of course, on 60-card formats today. So not ranking these based on Commander. This is from Standard, especially Modern and Legacy, a lot of these cards. So for 60-card formats. So are you guys ready to rank some Hate Bears?
I need to know, Seth, to clarify.
Yes.
Unplayable trash. Is it D, or are we gonna spread it out amongst like B, C, D? Like where?
So yeah, I would say, so we have our rankings from S down to D. I would say that B is like average, but it's right in the middle. S is going to be like the staples. I think that D is going to be like the worst of the worst, unplayable trash. So hopefully we get a nice distribution here and everything's not in like the D and C tier, but we'll have to see. So
yeah, Richard.
Let's start. Yo, with the
let me pull up my metagame sheet real quick. I'm not even sure how many of these still see play in 2026. Is this the boomer tier list? What is this?
Hey, these cards, most of them I think still see at least some amount of play. Not all of them are like main deck four of staples. Some of them are main deck four of staples. But especially if you're thinking of like modern and legacy and older formats, I think pretty much every card we're going to talk about today has at least some implications in 60 card Magic. But we'll start with an easy one. We'll start with maybe the first card I think of. Actually, I'm curious, before we do this, if I just say name a hate bear, what's the first card that comes to your mind? Like, what would the card you would name if someone was just like, give me your favorite hate bear?
Thalia. 100% Thalia.
Okay, that's what my mind goes to, too. And that is actually the first card on our tier list today. Thalia, Guardian of Thraben. So if you don't know Thalia, it's a 2-mana, 2/1 first striker. This has non-creature spells, cost 1 more to cast. So where do you guys think Thalia falls on this list? We have this one in Standard not that long ago, thanks to a reprint. Still sees a lot of play in Legacy, in Modern, in Humans decks, and Death and Taxes style decks. But where would you guys put Thalia? I mean, it has to be relatively high, right? Above average for sure.
If you're counting for, okay, we're going to ignore her last time in Standard because she came in at a time where she was completely irrelevant, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy
to
say.
Not the right meta somehow.
Which is like where I think she would be amazing right now in this Standard.
Against Lessons and like the Izzet decks, all Thalia would be so good.
But like that shows how much she is needed. And I think that if you ask Richard, you ask me, if everyone thinks about Thalia, I think... When you say the name Hate Bear, I think she's got to be an S, right? Of the Hate Bears, she's got to be one of the best Hate Bears. And doesn't just simply get pooped on in combat thanks to that first strike.
First strike is huge. Like, that helps with the stats. I would say that this is one of the Hate Bears that also is pretty resilient. I know it's not like having ward or protection or something, but making non-creature spells cost 1 more to cast means normally if your opponent wants to get a Thalia off the battlefield, they're going to have to spend an extra mana. I know, like, the nightmare situation, I'm sure you guys have seen this in gameplay, is when you, like, leave up your removal spell on turn 1 or turn 2, and you're like, oh, I'm just going to kill whatever my opponent plays, and then they play the Thalia, and you're 1 mana short from killing anything, and you're like, oh, I just kind of time walk myself. Like, that's so brutal. Richard, you're a Thalia believer. What do you think? Is Thalia just like the best hate bear ever? Is this at the top of our S tier?
If we take into account historical relevance, then yes.
Yeah.
If we take into account what we're playing in 2026, she's almost unplayable trash, right? Because like Bowmasters is a card. A 2-1 is not good stats anymore, right? The clock is too slow. The body's too weak. It dies to Bowmasters. So I think in this day and age, you don't really want to play Thalia anymore. But historically, Thalia was one of the greatest things ever. So for that reason, I'll give her... I can't in good conscience give her an S. Maybe an A. Like if we did this like 5-6 years ago, she'd be S, right? But I'm... Was she like? Did she even really play like Humans? Does that even count?
Right? So if we look at actual play for Thalia right now, it's not what it was at its peak. Because I think Richard is right. There was a time like 10 years ago, maybe even like 7 years ago, when Thalia was one of the better creatures in Magic, and I think would easily be at the top of our list. But if you look at actual play today, is he's playing Legacy, Death, and Taxes? Is he's play in some Pioneer decks, like Pioneer Collective Company style decks? But it's really not like this ever-present staple. I'm torn. I think it has to be at least an A tier. I can see an argument for it being S tier just because it was literally the first card we all thought of when you were asked what it was the first hate bear that you'd think of. So I think that's an argument for its historical relevance, but I don't know. I could see putting it in A or S. Like...
If we're talking about historical relevance, this is definitely an S, right?
Like, it's gotta be.
It's the hate bear, I think. But yeah. Richard is right, though. Like, it dies to Bowmaster real easily. But so does a lot of things on this whole tier list.
It's not that hateful, though. Like, so this is a main deck card or bust, right? So you're literally playing Death and Taxes or, like, you know, White Weenie type effect. You don't usually put Thalias in the sideboard, and you don't usually... having your opening hand, you're like, oh, I win the game, right? But, like, there are some cards here on this list where you put it in your sideboard, and then if you mulligan into it, you're like, oh, my God, thank goodness, right? Like, I've won this game. Let's go next, right? So it's not even that hateful, right? It's just, like, a mild effect, and against the right decks, it would do the right thing. But it's too slow in 2025, man. Like you delay them by one turn. All removal costs one. So you just delay them once. You can't stack it up. And if I were Wizards and I wanted to buff an iconic card, I would go to Thalia, Guardian of Thraven, and I would buff her.
I don't know about that. Don't say that.
Two mana, 2/2, ward one, non-creature spells cost one more, non-legendary. Right? If we could stack these bad boys up, we'd be talking, right? Like, so I don't know. I think she is like primed for a buff, so I can't put her in S, right? I can totally make her better and still be balanced. Like, it would still be a balanced card. Like, just a 2-mana 2/2, right? And she would almost be playable.
Wouldn't you say in this current standard, right, if you had Thalia, would she not be absolutely like a house?
No, because you pay 2 mana for your firebending lesson and you kill her, and then you resume your game, right? Like,
Always been the same, right? Like, of her with her in, like,
you know.
Now
you're playing white with no pressure. Like, everyone else is winning on turn 4. Are you winning on turn 4 with your Death and Taxes deck, right? Like, it starts getting iffy, right? So I wouldn't even... High Noon. I would just play High Noon if I was going to do this, right?
But then she's not a hate bear.
She would be. Because the 2/1 first strike is almost irrelevant. Like, it's such a slow body. It gets blocked by everything in standard, right? Like,
hold on. Let's get to the... Let me ask you this then, Richard. Are hate bears playable in 2026?
That's what I'm saying. I think there are a bunch of cards on our list that would be considered S tier, but not because they're hate bears, right? But because, like, they have other things. But I think the notion of, like, taxing out your opponent is really hard to do. Like, the threats are so varied and cards are so efficient. Like, you can't do it. And you'd rather just play a piece to end the game faster. So I don't think she'd be good in standard. Like, what deck would she go in standard?
But, like, if you think about it, Razorkin Needlehead, right? Scalding Viper. These are, like, I know they're red. Right, but like they are sort of like a hate bears, kind of like a little bit of a slug card, right? A punish card. I think if you go Boros and then you add this, and yeah, sure, I know it might tax your like Lightning Helix, but the main thing is that's your only real form of like non creature spell. Otherwise, you're delaying the opponents. You're putting out a solid 2-drop. There are hate bears in standard now that I at least consider Razorkin Needlehead one. I don't know. I think she'd still be pretty good, man.
I think Thalia would still be good in standard. I think the point of what deck would she go in, that is a fair one, because it's not like we have a white weenie deck or something that we just obviously slot into. But I do think like it would still be decent in standard. But we gotta give this a final grade.
In 2026, everything's a creature. Her non-creature clause holds her back, right? Like, everything nowadays, before it used to be, like, you just played all spells, but now you're like, oh, it's a Bowmasters, right? That didn't stop anything, right? Or you're playing Badger Mole Cubs or whatever. You're playing a Kona, right? So, like, the non-creature part has gotten less relevant over time.
I think that might be true, actually. I think we have seen more, like, creatures that work as removal, thinking of, like, the Evoke Elemental, Solitudes, and Furies, and so forth, which makes it a lot easier for decks to not play a lot of spells, although we do have Visit Lessons, which is a super spell-heavy deck, is the literal best deck in Standard right now. So it's not like there's
Fury
no
times.
Spell decks, but, yeah. Oh,
thank God, that's God.
But all right, where are we going to put Thalia? Are we going to stick... I know Krim said S. My impulse was S, but now I'm starting to think maybe I'm in A with Richard. I'm like... in between here, but where do we want to stick this so we can move on?
It's a hate bears tier list, right? There's got to be a good one, and I think this is the hate bear.
That's why we're putting everything between C and D. What are we doing?
Oh, there's no. Okay. All right. We'll leave Thalia. We're gonna leave Thalia at the top of A for now, but we reserve the right to bump it up later. But let's move on to our next card because we still have a lot of cards to get through. Next up, we have what should be a pretty easy one. A literal hate bear in Collector Oof. A green 2-mana 2/2. It's an oof, and it just says activated abilities on artifacts can't be activated. So Collector Oof, shutting down artifact decks, sort of. I'm curious what you guys think of this one. My gut is this is pretty low tier because not only does it only hate on artifacts, but it also only hates on activated abilities of artifacts. So if your opponent's just like, dump my hand, play a Copper Cannoneer or something, it really doesn't care that much about a Collector Oof, even in the matchup where you would really want a Collector Oof, you would think, against like an Affinity style deck. But there are uses, shutting down Mana Rock, shutting down, you know, Lotus Petals or Lion's Eye Diamonds or so forth. But where would you put Collector Oof in 2026?
Probably close. This is one of those things where Richard talked about it, when you draw a sideboard card, that it, like, in the right matchups, it feels like your ace. But this card has a very, very specific matchup, right? And because of that, I think it's a little too narrow, and I think it's closer to probably like a D.
Wow.
Actually, it is playable. It is playable. No, but like, no, wait, hold on, hold on. There's no like artifact lands, right? There's in like modern right now.
Not super heavily played, yeah.
Yeah, not heavily played ones. Is this played anywhere in modern? And, like, for what reason?
Let me show you my John deck list, Chris.
Wait, why? Is it for Affinity?
I can't remember the exact metagame reasons, but I've actually played, like, a ton of Collector Oof. And I was actually going to put it as A, so I was actually shocked that Krim put it as D.
Arcbound Ravager? Is that really it?
In the matchups where it works, it really works. And here's the important thing about Thalia, right? You can stack them up, right? So
that's fair.
If anyone has ever played any 60-card format, one hate piece does nothing, okay? You're going to need two or three plus a Thoughtseize to get it done. So the problem with Thalia is you put one out, and then that's it. And then, you know, they wait, they end of turn, remove it, then they go kill you. Collector Oof, you can put three of them on the battlefield, and they got to get rid of three before they pop off. And that, like, really hampers them. So I'm trying to remember why it was in my Jund deck. But I've played
Collector Oof
in the sideboard a lot. And it's always one of those cards where you're like, oh, thank goodness, you know, I drew it, right? Yeah. So I actually, for that reason, I would put it as A, right? I would actually say it's probably better than thought. Like, if for whatever reason, the format was full of artifacts, like, you know, the One Rings and things like that, and you needed this, you would slam this in as a four of in your sideboard and call it a day. The one knock against it is the actual Hate Bear deck, like Selesnya in Modern. Like, usually they're Vial decks, right? You usually play Aether Vial to, like, Vial in your stuff, and then Collector Oof turns off your Vial, so you can't even do that, right? So that's, like, the weird part of it. It's also not white. Normally, you want to, you know, stack up all your white pieces together, but I think it's A, I think. I think it's actually pretty
good.
Say
that
I think you would still consider it. If you're like, wow, the meta is all, like, artifacts, and usually the artifacts need to tap. There aren't a bunch of decks that only have artifacts that don't tap, right? Like, that's really a thing.
That's fair.
We do have Mox Opal back in Modern now. And we also have seen, like, because of weapons manufacturing, Arcbound Ravager kind of make a comeback to some extent, and this shuts down Ravager. To me, this is a Hate Bear that's, like, incredibly high on hatefulness. Like, in the right matchup, this is two drop game over almost. Like, as long as this sticks, your opponent's not going to execute their game plan. But it's very low on versatility, because it's a card that you only are going to play in this, like, very specific matchup, which is one of these super artifact heavy decks. Being in green does give you the upside that you can, like, Green Sun Zenith for it. So it's one of those Hate Bears that can be, like, a one of main deck card in the right meta, where you just are planning on tutoring it up. So I think, like, its versatility is appealing to me. I was going to probably put it in the B tier, honestly. I think I'm kind of right in between you guys. Was down at C, Richard's at A. I was thinking this is kind of like, if you average it all out, probably like a B tier Hate Bear, but I don't know. What do you guys think? Where do we end up putting this one?
Wait. Okay. I just want to throw out a little food for thought before Krim answers. So we're missing a card here, which I consider the ultimate artifact hate, which is Kataki's War Rage.
Kataki.
Yeah. Oh,
Kataki,
yeah, yeah.
Whatever. So the two Kataki, mana where on the beginning of, I don't know if each player or opponent's upkeep, they got to pay one for each artifact. So for those decks that spew out artifacts that don't necessarily tap, you play that thing and it's like game over. They sack at like everything. So that like is in direct contention with Collector Oof. Kind of, right? Like that's
like
another option.
I like that more.
It's funny. I considered this when I was putting together a tier list. I went with Collector Oof because it's seeing more play than Kataki is currently, but they do kind of like compete for a very similar role. So you do have some choices here if you want to hate on artifacts as to which one is better. And in some ways, Kataki can't even be the better option, but I think it really just depends on like the colors of your deck and the specific meta that you're in and like what the artifact decks are doing. But it is a good shout out to Kataki there. But where are we sticking Collector Oof? Like, do we split the difference and just B tier it?
I
would. I was gonna put it at a C, but maybe it is a B tier. I will say though that Remember, again, I look at A and like definitely S as a hate bear you could main deck. And I still think that's Thalia, right? Like you could main deck that. But I could never imagine me main decking Collector Oof.
You'd have to be in the like the Hogak, like main deck ley line kind of meta where it's just like 40% affinity or something, and then maybe you consider. But yeah, you're right. It is not a main deck hate bear. Let's leave it in B. We'll split the difference, leave it in B for now. Let's move on to the Boomer Hate Bear. This card used to be the truth back in the day, but I don't think I've seen this card in a long time. And that is Gaddick Teague. We're going into Lorwyn, so we're going back to an old Lorwyn card here. Isalesia 2-mana 2/2 Kithkin Advisor. It says non-creature spells with converted mana cost 4 or greater can't be cast, and non-creature spells with X in their mana cost can't be cast. So this is a card that we used to play all the time. I haven't seen it in a while. It is a very strong effect, but I feel like this card gets punished by the fact that Modern Magic is so efficient. When, like, in 2015 Modern, where people were casting their cryptic commands and stuff, Gaddick Teague was like, oh my god, I'm just shutting down control decks. I'm shutting down, like, so much of the meta. Supreme Verdict. But now everything's gotten so fast and efficient that just hating on four plus drops in X spells, I'm not sure it really does enough anymore. But I would lean towards putting this relatively low, but I'm curious what you guys think.
What four drops? Four plus drop.
What are you hating on?
You know what we do, though? It's Leyline Binding. They all cost one, but we do play things that cost more than four.
I guess that's true, the chibi. Yeah.
I guess, but maybe, like, in Standard, but even then, that's cutting it, like, real, real thin. I mean, I don't even think Gaddick Teague is... Oh, God, I think this might be a D. This actually is unplayable, right? Like, I don't know where you're playing this.
It is maybe unplayable Legacy. Trash, but you can't give Thalia the historic bump and then leave out my
but
man.
But Thalia is still playable, right? Thalia, I think, to this day is still playable. Maybe you hate out the Storm deck's ability to pass in flames, but otherwise in like Modern, but they can answer that pretty easily. It's a 2/2, right?
Think of 10 years ago, Krim. You built a wide board. Slam down Teague, your opponent has Supreme Verdict, you're like, no, I can't even wrap the board. And then they top deck Sphinx's Revelation, and then they crawl into a ball and die, right? You're like, that was the team dream, right? Like, oh, it was
sure
so good back then, but nothing like, costs four anymore. Your sweepers are like 3 mana, right?
You can't even stop them. Have engineered explosives as a 4 of in Modern, right?
You had to play that to answer the Teague.
Honestly, you can't
even do it because it costs 4 to answer the Teague.
I will say it does still see a tiny bit of Legacy sideboard play, maybe because of Force of Will, I guess, gives you another thing that it hates on that's really heavily played. So maybe that's part of it. But yeah, it doesn't see that much play. I was going to put it in C, and honestly, that is bumping it based on how good it was 10 years ago. Because if I was just ranking it based on how good it was today,
I gotta give it a
C
because there are cards on this list that have never seen play. At least the Teague saw play at some time and you feared him. Okay.
That's fair. That's fair.
All right. Let's move on. This one, I wasn't even sure I was going to put this card on the list because I don't conceptualize it as a hate bear, but then I thought more about it, and I was like, okay, I think this actually does qualify, and that is Eidolon of the Great Revel. So Eidolon of the Great Revel, burn deck staple across older formats, really. A 2-mana double red 2/2. It's a spirit. It says when a player casts a spell with mana value 3 or less, Eidolon of the Great Revel deals 2 damage to that player. So we mostly see this as a 4 of main deck card in burn decks where you're not really even playing it like a hate bear. I mean, I guess it is kind of a hate bear, but it's really just a burn spell. But it could also be like a storm hate card if your opponent's trying to cast a bunch of cheap spells. This can keep them from doing that. So do you consider this a hate bear? And where would you rank this? Like, this is one of the few 4 of main deck cards in 2026, but is it even a hate bear?
Burns you for casting a spell that's under like 3 or less, right?
Yeah.
That's like every Magic card nowadays. But why is it not played?
It's kind of the opposite of Gaddick Teague, right? Like everything's getting so efficient that everything just triggers Eidolon and nothing triggers Gaddick Teague anymore.
Yeah, but like how come it's not played? Is it actually too fair?
Yeah, it's slow. You got to play, like, literal burn. And even then, if you start playing different colors in burn, it gets hard to cast. But it's, like, you can stack them up. You know, I have actually played it in Jund, right? Like, as a sideboard thing. You're like, I'm just going to bring us all down to, like, no life and then, like, try to kill us, right? So it's not even just a burn thing, but it's only 2 damage. Like some people just need only like, you know, three or four spells to kill you. But the thing is, it just dies, right? Like you put it down, they see it, and they're like, okay, end of turn, remove it, and then we go. That's why like hate bears as a concept is not as strong. This is probably the best one though, because most of these bears are a 10-turn clock, which is like nothing,
yeah.
Right? But at least this thing lowers your life, right, and slows you down
and
just enough
legendary.
To get there. But it's, I think burn is just not good.
Big.
Yeah,
I think that
it's also an enchantment too, right?
Yeah, so like, it does pick up on even more hate. And incidentally, it picks up on like sideboard enchantment removal.
Yeah, like people usually put in like removal for like enchantments or artifact, like the true like hate pieces that lock them out. And this incidentally gets picked off as well. So,
but like this is so, this feels like it reads so efficient, right?
Oh,
like
it
reads.
They're just like Leyline Binding it. Cool.
Okay. I mean, yeah, if they Leyline Binding it or Supreme Verdict or something, then they got you, right? But like for the most part, I feel like this triggers on almost every Magic card. Like, mm-hmm. I think this is worth no lower than a B. No lower than a B. I think this is an efficient hate bear.
Wait. Does Modern Burn play this? It must, right?
I was just gonna say, sort of. Modern Burn isn't really much of a deck at the moment, so we don't have many recent lists to look over. I think it's gotten power crept a little bit looking over the deck list that we do have. Some decks are just like, I'm playing Slickshot Showoff is my 2-drop because I'm casting a lot of spells, and that's actually just gonna deal more damage than the Eidolon. So it used to be that every burn deck, you played 4 Eidolons, no doubt about it. Now some decks do, some decks don't, some decks play 3. So it's not like it was 10 years ago because of power creep, but it still does show up when burn shows up in Legacy and in Modern. I think B is probably fair for
right,
it.
I'll
honestly
give it a good B,
but it feels so good. But like I guess
does.
Sure, okay.
Oof behind it or in front
better
of it?
Better than just, I think this is better than oof, right?
Oof is better. Oof is better.
Oh, is it?
In case of emergency, break out the oof. Said no one of the great revel.
All right, well, oh man, I'm torn. Well,
look,
we'll leave
use the limited
for Richard
but
for
when
now.
When two cards are competing, you go for the easier to cast card, okay? There's only a single.
That
is
that's
true.
Fair. That's fair.
All right, next we have a card that I'm not sure where we're going to rank this one, Hushbringer. And this is a stand-in for a whole bunch of different cards that kind of are the same thing. These are 2-mana white creatures. I think we have Doorkeeper Thralls, another one. There's a third one that I'm not thinking of at the moment. But they're 2-mana white creatures. This is a 1/2 flying lifelinker. And it says, creatures entering the battlefield or dying don't cause abilities to trigger. So there's several that only shut down ETBs. This is the one that also shuts down death triggers. So if you really just want your opponent not to be able to pop off with their Aristocrat deck or their Elish Norn, Panharmonicon, ETB-focused deck, Hushbringer gets the job done. It does have flying, too, so you get a little bit of evasion there. What do you guys think of Hushbringer in this archetype of cards? Are they any good?
This card, I won't lie to you. I think I was pretty pumped on it when it came out and like when it got revealed. But I don't think it was good then, right? Is it better now?
No. No, I don't,
okay,
I don't believe it is.
Have you ever felt like splashing white and fairies to play Hushbringer?
No, not really. So
The only play I can
this is
see.
Worse than Teague, right? This is at the very... I can say this is at least worse than Teague.
Don't even compare to Teague.
I'm thinking this might be our first D tier card, honestly. I can see is sometimes Lantern Control in Modern plays a couple copies in the sideboard. I'm not even exactly sure what they're hating on. Maybe ETB Artifact Destruction Creatures. But I don't think it sees enough play. Like, the effect is interesting, and it's cool that you can try to build combos where you, like, stifle your own Enterer's Triggers and whatever. Like, those janky against odds things. But as far as actually being a playable card, Hushbringer kind of disappointed me. I like Grim thought it was going to be really good, and it just wasn't very good, and it still hasn't really gotten better. So I'm fine with slamming it in D here, honestly.
So we say that 2 damage clock is not a real clock. Half of that is
what
even
about
worse. Like that's
you
the whole problem here, right?
Though.
Like, if you wanted this effect, you would play it on an enchantment or artifact that's like a lot hardier, right? Because this is a 1/2 creature that provides no clock but dies to like literally everything, right? So like, you just simply don't want to play it unless you're doing the proactive thing and comboing it with, like, you know, your creature whose ETB you're erasing. So unplayable. It never saw play ever, and I don't think it will ever see play.
Well, right? Richard, we're gonna slam this in D. If you want your hate beers to deal damage, so Richard, do I have a card for you? We have our first black hate beer here in Doffy Voidwalker. So Doffy, double black for a 3/2, so good stats, with shadow. And it says, if a card would be put into opponent's graveyard from anywhere, exile it instead with a void counter on it, and then you can tap and sack it to choose one of the exiled cards with a void counter and play it for free. So this is an unblockable hate bear that hits for 3 a turn. Also, it can't really block because of how shadow works. But if you want to just get in damage with a hate bear, it gets the job done. It shuts down your opponent's graveyard, and it gives you that like huge upside free roll potential where sometimes you just like thought seize your opponent's bomb and then cast it with Voidwalker and win the game. I think this is like one of just the best cards that we're going to talk about today as far as like if I could put it in my main deck, I would play 4 of these in my main deck. But where do you guys come down on Voidwalker? This one's got to still be good even in 2026, right?
This has to be the first, like, no lower than an A. I think it's no lower than
A. It has to be A, and it could be S. That's where I'm at. Is like, it's
above Thalia. I think this is above Thalia. Because getting that card is so key here. And like, you're eating anything from anywhere. Doesn't matter how it gets to the graveyard. That's a pretty big deal. And it's a 3/2. Believe it or not, this thing is never being blocked, and it's somewhat a real like attack force,
clock.
Right?
It's a real clock. Yeah, like I have died to just like my opponent beating me down with Voidwalkers before, and it's one of the only hate bears on the list that literally can just win the game almost immediately by itself. Like if you super high roll with getting something big into the graveyard with discard or whatever, like not many of these other hate bears can accidentally, like I've had games I remember when they first printed this where you played against like Tron or whatever when that was still a thing and you just like thought seize their Karn or their Eldrazi and you play it for free on like turn 3 and you're like, oh, okay, I guess I win.
Turn 3 Karn.
No, but like, Richard, are you not convinced?
You don't like this? So weak sauce on this. So it's a good card, okay? But even if you're running 4 of these, you're not going to be like, oh, I just don't need graveyard hate, boys. Like, I'm good to go, right? Like, no, you're still running your real graveyard hate. It's incidental. It's okay. Like, I don't even know. So, like, you play it and they bolt it and you're like, cool beans, bro. I'm down on the exchange, right?
Like, I feel like that's so true. Like, almost every card on our list, though. If we're gonna
that's
go
why
with the
hate
bolt
bears
test.
As an archetype gotta start at like C or something, right? Like, it's gotta draw a card on the way down and do something. It is one of the strongest cards on our list. I can give it an A, but it's just like okay. Like you're not like spawning archetypes with, like, even with the cheese wins is not enough, right? Like, yeah, okay, sometimes you get the Ulamog, right? And then you cast the Ulamog, it's great. Most of the time you play and it immediately gets gibbed by like one spell removal, and like that was that, right? And then even against a graveyard deck, it helps in that you start with the ley line in play, you play the Voidwalker, and now you have like a quote unquote real game. Okay,
some
if you
layers,
just started with the ley line, you're going
to
lose. If you just started with the Voidwalker, you're going to lose as the non-graveyard player, right? So it gives you a clock that's graveyard, so that's good. But it's not like game-ending hate, right? Like, it's just a 3/2. Anyone can remove it. And the clock is still too slow against any kind of unfair deck. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, standard decks are winning on turn 4, right? Like, the 7-turn clock is going to be a while. So, like, it's not even, like... that crazy. So of the hate bears, it's probably the best one because it does things outside of its weak hate, but it's still kind of meh. Like,
okay.
I'd rather play a Corey Steel Cutter. How about that? Right? Like, I don't know. Right?
But that's got to be the highest praise Richard could give a hate
that
bear,
is.
Right? So
from
that's
Richard,
like an S.
From Richard, that is some high praise.
That's an S,
Krim,
right?
Krim loves it because he can kill it so efficiently. It doesn't matter, right? play more of these.
This card is sweet. I mean, right?
I think it is a really good card. I do think Richard's point that just if you look at just its stacking ability, it's maybe like... not the strongest if you're only judging by, like, its hatefulness. I would say it's, like, it's kind of mid. Like, if your opponent's on a graveyard deck, they don't really care at all or, like, that much about it. If they are a graveyard deck, it's not always enough by itself. So it's maybe low on hatefulness, but I think it's, like, super high in versatility, because it's one of the rare cards that we're talking about that I would see playing four of in my main deck, even in 2026. Like, so I'm fine with leaving it at the top A. Maybe it doesn't deserve to be the first S, but I think we got to at least put it in the A.
You putting
it
ahead of Thalia?
Yeah, 100%.
I would vote ahead of Thalia.
Oh, no, my girl Thalia.
Dude.
Not like this. You don't think so?
I would put this above Thalia for sure.
I think
meta relevance, Thalia has had more. Voidwalker's always kind of just been a fringe playable card. But in 2026, Voidwalker would probably make a deck before Thalia.
I would agree with that. Peak Thalia would be ahead of Voidwalker. But currently, I think I'm more likely to see Voidwalker than Thalia, probably.
Our goat is washed.
Let's move on. Let's move on to our next one. We're about halfway through. Next up, we got a little white hate bear and Containment Priest, a 2-mana 2/2, so literal hate bear with flash. That says if a non-token creature would enter the battlefield and wasn't cast, exile it instead. So this is the ultimate gotcha hate bear. When someone goes to like reanimate their Atroxa and you flash this in, you feel so smart. Or they show and tell and you flash this in, you're like, it feels so good. But not very relevant outside of very specific situations. It's only a 2/2, even with flash. Where do you guys end up on Containment Priest?
If you're going to give Collector Oof like a B, then I think I got to give Containment Priest a B, right?
Yeah.
I didn't think you were going to go like that.
Where are you at, Richard?
I would say if you were going to give Collector Oof a B, then you have to give Containment Priest a C, because... It like sees even less play, and the way historically I've seen this card is usually like, yeah, it hits on like Collected Company, but if Collected Company is what you're after, there's a better card for it, right? If it like, let's say Reanimator is the problem, there's a better card for it. So this is kind of a catch-all that kind of doesn't do much, right? Like, yes, you can use it as a catch-all, but normally you put in your stronger answers. So it like see some play, but it's not that much play. So I would actually put it below Collector Oof, right? It's like very situational, but like I say even more situational than Oof. What does the meta need to be, right? Like everyone is playing Blink decks or something.
Blink, Reanimator.
Collected Company, Reanimate. Like it has to be this weird meta where you're like, oh, actually Containment Priest is worth it, right? Otherwise you would just be like, Reanimator, well, I'll just play Ley Lines or something, right? Like, did we see this all over the place when Hogak was meta? Like, no, right?
Yeah. It sees a lot of legacy play right now. Well, maybe not a lot, but it sees legacy play right now as a sideboard card to fight on, like, Reanimator, Oops All Spells style deck. So that's kind of its main format. But even there, it's kind of like a 2-of sideboard card. I have a hard time putting it behind Gaddick Teague at this point.
It's better than Gaddick Teague 100.
I think I would either put it like the bottom of the B's or the top of the C's, depending on where you want to go. But that's probably the range I'm looking at, is either here or right in front of Gaddick Teague at the top of the C.
I don't think Containment Priest is better than Eidolon. So I agree that it is at least at the bottom of the B.
Let's give it a B.
We'll go B.
It's a human. Right. It has synergy.
It's a human. It's got some.
It's also got flash, which is cool.
Actually, yeah, that leads to the blowouts. It's one of my favorite hate bears to play, just because the blowout potential is super high. It's very like narrow, but the actual hatefulness, just because you can get people by surprise, it's kind of a little of that mana tithe, like I got you feeling to it, which is just so much fun. But let's move
black on. Black white decks don't try it with like Felia or something like that. I don't know. Like that's kind of
that would actually be kind of sweet, right? Combo and like blink your opponent's stuff. No, I kind of want to build that. I might know the next deck I'm building. Let's move on to another classic. Bear that I haven't seen in a minute in Aethersworn Canonist. So Aethersworn Canonist, it's an artifact creature. It's a human cleric. It's a 2-mana 2/2 in white. It says each player who has played a non-artifact spell this turn can't play additional non-artifact spells. So this used to be a card that you play in artifact decks or even just out of your sideboard to hate on storm decks, but this one I have not seen since like 2017 or something. It's been a minute, but am I missing something about the Canonist?
It was played everywhere, right? Because
they used to see a ton of play.
You vial it in or whatever. Like, you're not being affected by the once per thing. Or you're fine with playing just one spell a turn, right? Or, you know, you're usually paired with Stoneforge. So you can play your artifacts or whatever.
Yep.
But it would stop, like, storm decks or efficient decks. But 2-2's just not what it used to be. Like, it just doesn't do anything anymore, right? Stacking them doesn't make them any more hateful, but it's more resilient, right? It's non-legendary. So I don't know, but I don't... There's no reason
shattered,
to play it anymore, right?
It gets shattered.
Yeah.
And I think it's just suffered from, like, we have High Noon now. And, like, if you want to punish, like, the Storm deck, we just have more resilient versions of it. I feel like this is a fact that's actually better not on a creature, if that makes sense, because I really don't want my Storm Hate card to just get got by a random removal spell. So I feel like it's just not as good as High Noon or something. I'd be looking, man. Like, yes, this used to be really good, but I think it's got to be C at best, right? There's no way
I think
this
it's
is
better
B-tier
than Gaddock Teague.
Better than Gaddock? Okay.
But
okay.
Still in the C. Definitely not a B.
I think it's better than Gaddock Teague today. Yes.
Right, but like, right. Somebody is going to listen to this and they're just going to be like, damn, dude, I woke up today and my favorite archetype is Hate Bears and it's randomly catching a million strays that I didn't expect would happen.
You would still see this card. Would you even see it played though? Because like, it used to be only the like Storm decks multi-spell the turn. But everyone multi-spells, like, every turn now, right? So this, like, actively hampers you, unless you're literally artifacts. And
right.
So I don't even know if you would play this in a modern, like, Hate Bears list that's, like, non-artifacts. But I can imagine if they made a new Hate Bear that was, like, game-ending, like, you know, Badger Mole Cub, like, one of these type of cards, that it would resurrect a lot of these, like, mediocre-looking Hate Bears, because they'd actually have a deck to go in. But right now, you just have a collection of mediocre cards that doesn't really make a deck, right? So this one I could still see being resurrected in 2026.
I could see uses. We don't really have them right now, but yeah, I think there are still, I think every card on this list still has some amount of uses. But
does Affinity play this? Hold on, wait. Just check Affinity.
Affinity does not play.
Oh my
it.
Goodness.
There's really
oh, my goodness. Blue red, right?
I found like a couple, nowadays? A couple of Legacy Affinity decks played some in the sideboard a few months ago. But yeah, it's pretty slim pickings as far as actual tournament deck lists with Canonist recently. Let's move on. Okay, we got an interesting one here. Do we have our first S tier card? Orcish Bowmasters. A 2-mana 1/1 with flash. Then when it enters, or whenever opponent draws a card except for the first one they draw during their draw step, it deals 1 damage to any target, and you also amass Orcs 1. So it is actually a 2-2 because you get that extra body out of it that can just take over a game. And this, I mean, we were talking about Thalia being bad partly because Bowmasters exists. It makes it so easy to snipe things like Thalia. If this is literally pushing the first Hate Bear that we think of out of our tier list and out of the game, this has got to be above Thalia, right? Is this just S tier? Is this the one? Right?
Yeah, this has got to be an S. It's got flash. It's also removal. It can burn face.
It can kill creatures. It can go face. It makes multiple bodies. The card is ridiculous.
I will say that it itself kind of plays, it spawns a mini game, right? Where, like, if you're playing against another Orcish Bowmaster deck, you both kind of sit and chill.
You want to be the second one to play the Bowmasters. You never want to be the first Bowmaster, yeah.
But I do worry, like, this isn't relevant right now, but I have noticed a lot more cards just say put cards to your hand.
That's true. Stocking up instead of divination, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm just saying, that's getting a little annoying, right? Because I've had things like this, draw punishers that just kind of don't do anything because, well, everything puts it to hand or is impulse.
Well, everything's also an X2 because of Bowmasters now as well, right?
Yeah.
That's why Knight of Souls has extra tough. Like, we see so many 1-mana 1/2s now. It is, I believe, because Bowmasters exist.
He's the guy, right? This is the guy. So
it is an S tier card precisely because it's not a Hate Bear, right? Like, it does so much. And I don't think, like, it's like, is Tarmogoyf a Hate Bear? Yeah, it hates on your life, right? Like, I don't know, right? Like, this ends people, right? It's not locking them out or anything. It just ends them. So I guess, right?
But it likes you out of drawing cards, though. I think that's part of the power of the Bowmaster. We've seen this in Commander, but you also see in 60-card formats where, like, once you play the Bowmaster, your opponent needs to answer the Bowmaster, but they can't cast their Brainstorms and their card draw effects to be able to find an answer, because if they do, it triggers the Bowmasters and they die. So I feel like that, like, it qualifies as a Hate Bear. It has a static ability. It's 2-mana. Like,
and
I don't know. Just because it's so good doesn't mean it's not a Hate Bear, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like, hay bears can be good. Yeah. Also, Richard's biggest concern, right, is that, hey, if I remove your hay bear, that's it. But if you remove my orcish bowmaster, I still have my army token. Yeah, it doesn't do any hay bear effect, but the main thing is I have a body behind, right?
Yeah. Sometimes it's big. This is one of the most resilient.
It's non-legendary.
Yeah, so you stack them up.
Great,
yeah.
Great, right? Like, it's so broken.
Is there any way they could put it in standard with the Hobbit? Can they reprint this into, or would that just be insane? Like, is there any world where we get Bowmasters as a reprint?
I think it's fine.
Am I sick? Am I, yes, I am literally under the weather right now, but like, am I absolutely like wild and off base to say that I kind of want to see it in standard?
I think it would be so miserable, but I kind
of
hope
I don't think it's any worse than
happens.
Any of our, like, it comes down, you need to kill it, and it's only an X one. Right?
Yeah.
But just like everything else, Badrimal, Cub, whatever, when it comes out, you gotta kill it immediately or you die, right? So this is the same.
Yeah.
So I don't actually think it's any less miserable. I think it's equally miserable as all of our standard threats. So I think
I would except is it looting is very upset, right? Like that's the only.
Oh yeah, in lessons, you accumulate wisdoms, you just get so blown out. But
I think
that would actually
just,
be part of it.
They just hold the removal for Bowmasters, right? Like I don't think it's
that
bad.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, that is true. Well, S tier,
I think we have S
tier hate bear.
This is S tier. Right. I don't think we could walk away with it not being S tier.
Again, well, it caused all the creatures to become 1/2s, right?
It kind of changed the game. Yeah, it really. And it ended the reign of Raghavan, which I will always be thankful for Bowmasters, because boy, did I hate Raghavan when Raghavan was at its peak. But speaking of card draw hate, we get one that sees a lot of Legacy. Like, as I was putting this list together, I was shocked at how much Legacy play this card actually sees these days, because I thought no one played this card, but Spirit of the Labyrinth, an enchantment creature from way back in Born of the Gods, a 2-mana 3/1, says each player can't draw more than one card each turn. So essentially, everyone's limited to a single card every turn. We have Bowmasters to hate on card draw. How does Spirit of the Labyrinth compare?
I really did not know this card got played.
Me either. But Legacy Death and Taxes plays it in the main deck as like a 3-of in the lists I'm seeing. But still, it doesn't see Modern play. It doesn't see Pioneer play.
Like
it is
like
a 3/1.
Three sure. Compared to two is very good, right? Because usually this is doing work against decks that don't play creatures. So they're coming in unblocked. It still dies to Bowmasters, though. So I'm not sure why people are so high on it. But I've played this card a ton. And again, I'm going to say this about all these boomer cards. They're not legendary, so you can stack them up, right? Because you need, like, 3 to 4 stacks pieces to actually, like, stop the game so that you're winning with 2/2s and 3/3s or 3/1s or whatever, right? So I think this is pretty good. And Legacy is the Brainstorm format, right? Like, every deck is playing Brainstorm, right? So this is what you need, right? So I could totally see it.
Yeah. In that situation, it's better to have something that just absolutely shuts it down rather than like Bowmaster just pinging, right? So you probably value the full-on stop.
You value the full-on stop, and I think it's also color considerations. Like a lot of the Death and Taxes deck in Legacy are mono-white, and they want to play like Rishadin Ports and Wastelands and so forth. So they kind of don't just want to splash in other colors, weird as that sounds, because they don't play fetch lands. So I think that's also part of it. I think this is like a solid B tier hate bear for me. Like, really, it's only in Legacy. But it does hit on a whole bunch of different decks because, as Richard said, everyone's playing Brainstorm and Legacy, a huge percentage of decks. So I think that's enough to keep it as, like, a solid B tier option.
I'd give it a C.
Put it down in C with the cannon?
I'd just say end of A.
Oh,
end of
up.
A?
Up here. Ooh.
It's in the right color, okay? Like,
it is in the right color.
It is in the
correct
right color,
yeah. And it really hates on card draw. Like, Bowmasters is cute and all, but if they just draw cards and then omniscience you, you're still dead, right?
I have had people do that.
So,
yeah.
Like, Spirit of Labyrinth actually stops them. So I actually would say top of B if you want
to
think. It's better
how
than
about
oof,
split.
No?
Yeah, I think I would put it.
You do draw more than you care about artifacts, so.
That is true. It applies to more matchups. Let's go top of B. How about that? I think that's a good splitting the difference here.
Once I look at it, the thing is, like, as much as I would like to give things A is kind of reserved for, like, where things start looking like main deckable cards.
That's kind of where I am,
too.
Valley
is looking mighty out of place in A right now.
Yo, hold on. Valley is a main deck card. It still
Valley
is.
Yeah. I mean, to some extent, you could argue then Eidolon, but like, no, not anymore.
Yeah, it's fallen off a bit. Well, let's move on. We got four more to go. Next up, one of my personal favorites, Cat Jesus, Leonin Arbiter. Leonin Arbiter is a 2-mana 2/2 that says players can't search their libraries, but any player can pay 2 to ignore this effect until end of turn. And some of my best Modo memories are people cracking their fetches into Leonin Arbiter and forgetting to pay the 2. There's no warning or anything. So once you crack that fetch, oh, you're... Because people think, oh, I can crack my fetch and then I'll pay the 2 because it's like a triggered ability. But no, you need to pay the 2 beforehand, before you start the searching, or else it all falls apart. And this used to see a lot of play with like Ghost Quarters and Field of Ruin effects, where you'd play this and like turn your Ghost Quarter into a strip mine because your opponent can't search for another thing. Not so much anymore, though. It makes me kind of sad. Where are we at with Cat Jesus in 2026?
Is this not the top of like... This is still played, though, isn't it? Somewhere? Is it?
It does still see play. Well... Actually, no, not really. Looking at our deck list, I see one modern deck list that played it recently, but if you just go to its card page on Goldfish, I'm seeing a bunch of commander lists and one modern Death and Taxes list pop up.
That means it's at the top of C. I feel like C is where my washed goats go. You know, yeah, like it's like...
Back in my day, I used to be a
back
hate
in my day, for sure.
This is the retirement home for hate bears here in the C tier.
Jeez, gotta be better than...
Then what?
So we're giving the angle the highest rating here. Like that's basically Modo angle shooting for you, right? Where people don't realize they gotta pay 2 before they crack it. It does hate on fetches, right? Like
it does.
Even if people play it correctly, right? Like if you put the Arbiter down, someone needs to pay 2 to crack a fetch. That's a big deal. And then obviously there's Ghost Quarter shenanigans, but I feel no one really played this outside of decks looking to Ghost Quarter Arbiter.
Yeah. Pretty much straight up Death and Taxes, like Thalia Arbiter, try to tax the mana. Like that's what people used to do with it.
And although there are a lot of fetch lands, there are also a lot of draws where you don't need to crack the fetch land. You know what I mean? Like you turn one fetch land, turn 2 fast land, turn 3 fast land, and then you know, whatever. You didn't get affected by this at all, right? So yeah. It's gotta be end of C, right? You can't
end of
put
C.
It. Above the
tier. I don't think it can make B. I don't think it can go above T. And I also don't think it deserves to be Hushbringer tier. Like,
wait. Hold on. I actually think this is better than Teague.
Maybe today, but the Teague.
Yeah,
she saw historical play.
Okay, sure. How about next to Teague? There's got to be some. I feel like historically Teague has more relevance.
Not a
than
good
Arbiter.
Day to be a Kithkin advisor lover.
Yeah, poor Gaddick Teague. Is it a good day to be Chris Pakula? Because our next card, we have an invitational card, Meddling Mage, Chris Pakula himself, a 2-mana Azorius 2/2. When it enters, you name a non-land card, and spells with the name can't be cast. So essentially, you can name whatever you want. No one, including yourself, can cast them. So very good if you need to stop a specific combo piece from winning the game. Can also just be used to like stop a lightning bolt from killing your creatures or whatever. Where are you guys at with Meddling Mage? This is one I still see on occasion, but I feel like it's kind of fringy these days. What about Meddling Mage?
I mean, it is pretty awesome that Chris Pakula also listens to metal, so he is the Meddling Mage.
He is the Meddling Mage,
But I just want to say that I think this card is sweet, right? This is such a cool card, and I don't know, it got reprinted or put into Modern, I think, Horizons 3, or was it 2?
Yeah, 2, I think. I think it was 2.
It done anything?
No. No, it doesn't really see modern play. Honestly, where I see it the most is actually in pre-modern, where people actually do play this card relatively highly as a sideboard card, because there are a lot of combo decks, and being able to just shut down the combo piece is actually pretty powerful. I don't know if we include pre-modern too much in our rankings, because it's still kind of a newish format. A little bit of legacy play in the sideboard for the most part, not in the main deck. Yeah, it's still the best at what it does.
Wasn't it in humans? It was in humans.
It used to be in Modern Humans. Yes. Modern Humans not really a thing anymore, but it was like a main deck for I think in the five color human deck. Yeah.
Okay, so it was modern.
That could be good.
That's right. Hold on. Yeah, it was in modern before Horizons. There
it is. Okay, no. So it got, I said that wrong. It came into modern because it was reprinted in Shards of Alara or Alara
there it
Reborn.
Is. I forgot about that.
And then it was also reprinted in Double Masters, yeah.
But like in its time, right, was humans ever a top dog? I felt like humans
was
modern humans.
Yeah. Yes. There was a time when five-color humans was like the best deck in Modern. Yeah, 2017 maybe, sometime in that range. It was like literally came from nowhere to be the best deck in the format.
Yeah, because I remember I played against LSV and he was on humans. And yeah, like, oh man, and this card like stopped my EE. Hold on, wait a minute.
it's really good at what it does. Yeah, and it's kind of skill testing.
Yeah, hold on. This card is like,
it's still playable.
Even
if people don't play
shot.
Yeah.
What's the card you fear the most? You name that? I don't know, man. That's kind of... I think this has more playability than anything, like, in the sea right now.
I think that's... I would put
what?
It above...
No!
Ooh, are we in the sea?
What? Straight to D with Hushbringer. You guys blazing on one...
No!
One modern deck where this card wasn't even, like...
Dude,
top
this card
five
was
or
card,
ten in that
though.
Deck, man.
like, no, it was just
that's
mediocre.
Awesome.
This card wrecks you, dude. What?
But it's
you call it skill testing, but like today, you're like, wow, okay, six cards wreck me. What am I gonna name?
Yeah,
you know, like it doesn't do much, right? Like, it's not really a hate bearer. If it didn't have the human type, it would see zero play. Okay, it would see zero play throughout all of history.
Yeah, that is true.
I don't think it's that good. I think you got to put it in Hushbringer tier. Like,
I don't
like,
know if I can go all the way to
Hushbringer. The C tier cards can come out in the right metagame. And I guess it's true if there are enough broken humans and humans becomes tier one again, Meddling Mage comes back in. Possibly.
But what if you just like name the cheesy combo piece? Like, oh, no show and tell, right? Like, okay, well, now you have to answer this.
It still, yes. I mean, it does have uses. Like, it definitely has uses against combo in specific. Like, you play this, you name your opponent's combo piece, and they got to kill this before they do their combo, which does have value, although they often can just kill it. So it's, like most of these cards, I guess a temporary reprieve more than, like, a permanent answer. It's hard for me to see this being Hushbringer bad. I can
see
putting
it, than Hushbringer.
I can see putting it by Gaddock Teague, maybe, is, like, the historic hate bears that have, like, you know, a bunch of nostalgia to them but aren't that good anymore. The retirement home tier. I could see putting in the retirement home tier.
If this was like Chris Pecula, you guys would even remember this card.
That is also true. I also
this
do
card
like
has, like,
Pecula,
almost
so
no storied history, man. Aside from being a Chris Pecula
yeah,
card.
I guess that's
this
true.
This card...
All right. Slander the Teague. Put him above Teague.
All right. Below Teague. Next to
humans
Teague.
Is
They're
more
buddies.
Likely
They're
to
buddies.
Come back than anything seeing play here. So I'll give you that, right?
Final two cards. Artifact Hate Bear, Phyrexian Revoker. So Phyrexian Revoker is a 2-mana 1/2. When it enters, you get to name a non-land card, and activated abilities of sources with the chosen name can't be activated. So Phyrexian Revoker doesn't really show up in any deck list currently, although it is a unique take on Pithing Needle in that it can shut down mana abilities. So I definitely have seen this used in the past to name Lotus Petal effects, Lion's Eye Diamond type effects, things like that, Black Lotus type effects that you can't hit with an actual Pithing Needle. But what do you guys think about Revoker?
Is this so bad now, right? Like, this is absolutely bad. Now.
This might be Hushbringer tier. This might be Hushbringer tier.
No.
Yeah,
historically, it was the card, though, right? You played it for so long.
We
so
did play it a lot.
So
yeah.
It's like Meddling Mage, except it's colorless. It goes in literally any deck. So people
that
actually played it back in the day when it was relevant, right? And then you can also get people with the vial.
But it's only activated.
Right? Because
ability.
You vial, they don't respond by cracking their fetch. You send in the Revoker and name the fetch. Right,
so
it even gives you those rules lawyer angles you're looking for. So
that's true.
It's
it used to be a vintage.
At least B, right? Like this,
it was
this
like a
was,
vintage staple too.
This was one of the go-to hate cards, and any deck could play it. Right, any deck could play this card.
Being colorless is that's got to bump it up a little bit. Being colorless,
but wait.
For accessibility.
Okay, hold on. Yes, you're right. It had its historic moments. But, okay, Meddling Mage just straight up allows you to not play the card. This only shuts off the activated ability. And maybe that is better. Maybe that is better in some situations. But is this not the same as just a Meddling Mage then? Like in the same tier.
Yeah, except it goes into every deck, but Battling Mage goes into precisely Azorius decks, right?
Or humans.
I think that's actually kind of the only difference, but I see them as very similar as far as their historical relevance, what they do. But one, like Richard said, you can play in any deck. One, you need to be in two specific colors.
Why would
I think
this
that
be
would put
better...
it ahead of Meddling Mage? If you want to argue that it's C tier instead
sure.
of B tier, I can.
Yeah, that's the main thing. I think it's C tier.
I can see putting it at the top of the C tier because I do think it's like relatively close to Meddling Mage, but I think it should be ahead of Meddling Mage. And it is. We're actually building a little house here. We have a nice little slope going. Well, we got one card to go. And this one, I'm not really sure where we're going to land on. Scavenging Ooze, a card currently in Standard, a card that still sees some amount of play in Standard, although there are some other versions of this, like Keen-Eyed Curator, that sometimes competes with it now, but it's a 2-mana 2-2 in green, and you can pay a green mana to exile a card from a graveyard. If it's a creature card, you put a +1/+1 counter on it, and you gain a life. There was a time when this was one of the better creatures in Magic. When this first came out in those Commander was it Commander 2011?
It was a reprint. Right. Yeah, it came out in 2015, right? It was like a core set, I think.
It started in Commander precons, and it was good in Legacy right away. And then they finally printed it under other formats, and it was like a modern staple. It still sees Standard play. But what do we think in 2026? The only downside I see is there's Lion Sash now, like kind of a white version of this. There's Keen-Eyed Curator, which when I build a Standard deck, I actually go back and forth as to which one is actually better because I do a very similar thing. But where do we rank Scavenging Ooze as a hate bearer?
Oh, dude, I do that same exact dance. Is Keen-Eyed Curator better here?
They're because so close.
It itself, on its front side, just without anything in the graveyard, whatever, is a 3-3. And it's a cute raccoon that's asking for uppies, right? Like, that's about
life,
it.
So that's
but,
the
yeah, it doesn't gain life. And, I mean, yeah. I like the activated ability doesn't cost a green. Whereas, like,
nice.
This costing specifically a green, I remember playing Modern Jund, and sometimes that's annoying because, like, I only have one green source. This card is, I think, still playable, though. I think this card is still playable. It's just not as good as maybe, like, Keen-Eyed Curator in Standard, but I think this card is still very solid. Do I think it is, I think it's not a C tier. I think it's above C.
I think it's got to be above C. The question for me is, like, I think it's B for sure. It's hard for me to see putting it in A, but maybe
it's main deckable. It's main deckable.
In A.
I would main deck this.
Richard, you're a Jund player.
Like
I know you've played Oozes.
You guys should play Jund then. Like, I don't think this even makes the deck list anywhere. So it was really good. So historically, it was really good, okay? Because, you know, Bob is eating away your life, aggro decks, whatever. You put this down, you regenerate your life, and we have like a 4-4, 5-5 beater, okay? But now it dies to Bolt and that's it. Right? You know what I mean?
Okay, hold.
Who's going to invest all his mana, right? Like, to do this. You know what I mean? Like even against like a dedicated graveyard deck, you got to hold up the mana every turn. And then it's like rough, right? Like, most decks can just end of turn, dump the thing, untap, do the thing, right? So it's like unplayable today. So.
But it's
historical
but it
relevance
today.
Has to be like the
No.
The
it's
bulk
a playset
right?
in Standard, in the Roots decks.
Oh, that is true. It does see play in Insidious Roots. Standard
and
Insidious Roots.
And historical. It checks that it gets played today. It checks that it was relevant back in the past. Yo, hold on. This might be an A, actually. This might be
an
A.
Give it an A?
I'm actually thinking it could be an A tier. Like, I'm actually pretty convinced by Krim's argument that it sees some Standard. Like, it currently sees Standard play, and it used to be really good in older formats, and occasionally maybe shows up in older formats now.
It actually
not
ends
much,
games,
but
unlike these other things. You know what I mean? Like,
and,
yeah,
you can that is true.
Untap with a 6/6 and then, like, end the game, right?
And while it does die to Bolt when it first comes into play, if you can play this when you have some mana up, you can grow it outside of Bolt range pretty quickly. And then once you have your Ooze sticking around, your opponent's done. I think it's bottom of A for me. I think I'd put it right below the Thalia right there. How does that look?
Hold on, wait. This might be above Thalia.
Above
A? Wait.
I know that historical relevance exponentially boosts Thalia, but like Thalia is... Okay, actually, if she were in Standard today, she would probably be a 4 of as well, right?
So, I think she would if she existed in Standard.
But, like, Scooze is there now. and actually played. Now, it may be in a fringe deck.
Although
but like,
in one fringe deck, yeah.
But it is a four of, right? Like, so it is playable. I don't think it's...
I got you guys the best
Voidwalker
argument, okay? What is Jund, guys? Jund is the collection of the best green, black, and red cards you could muster together in Modern. This crap left the main deck so fast. It left the 75 so fast, right? Like, you're like, I don't have room for my no synergy. Let's get the best cards, even though this is, like, incidentally hitting on graveyards.
But there was a point, the green requirement, right?
Is too high, I think, right? Like,
but yeah. Then that's that there was a point where this was main decked, and that in itself was the strengths of going on rock, right? You could then easily
the
activate
days,
this.
I mean, sure,
but historical relevance, playable today, I would not feel like I'm embarrassed to play this card.
We had three main deck oozes back in the day. I still put it in decks. Yeah.
I don't think I can put it ahead of... Here's my argument for not putting it ahead of Thalia. I think I would put it behind Thalia because primarily... Well, two reasons. One is overall play, Thalia still sees four of legacy play. So I think
Ooze
is four of standard play. Thalia is four of legacy play, kind of cancel out.
They offset,
and the one reason I would say against Scavenging Ooze is in those Roots decks, some people do play Keen-Eyed Curator. I was looking at some deck lists and they're playing like a 2-2 split. So I think everyone's doing the same thing we are, Krem. Or like, which one is better? They're super close. Like, depends on the situation. So I think I'd say it like is just behind Thalia, but I don't know. If you guys want to switch it, I'm fine with that too.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like maybe Richard's right. Though,
I just hate all cards. I feel I have played all of these cards on this, maybe outside of Bowmasters, more than any of you guys. And I think they all suck.
Wait, I don't Lightning Bolt.
You know how many Scavenging Oozes I've cast in my Magic career? Like, I played it through all of Standard.
Oh, I'm sure so many.
All of Jund. And but when we busted out our decks when we played... what did we play, Seth? Well, we played Sharpie Command, Sharpie Modern. I'm like, oh, Scavenging Ooze. It was main deck. Huh? I forgot all about this guy, right? Like,
so where would you put it, Richard? Me and Krim aren't here. You're doing this by yourself. Where would you put Scavenging Ooze?
It can't be B.
It's got to be between Eidolon and Containment Priest, right?
What?
So you'd go here.
Eidolon has way more uses. Oof, I think, has way more uses. I don't think Ooze has any use today.
Yeah, but it does literally today, right? Because everything is so graveyard dependent right now.
But I would take a Voidwalker, but I would take none of these, right? I would take ley lines, I would take relics, I would take like literally anything to stop. I would take Ghost Vacuum, Krim.
But it being a creature is relevant, right? Like, it being a creature is actually an upside here. And the activated, I don't know.
Where you need it to be a clock, it's too slow to be a clock. So, like, actual, like, reanimator decks, right? Like, it's too slow to kill. It's best against, like, I'm playing against Coco or some crap, right? Like, we've gone, like, 8 turns, we've killed everything. We play this down, gain 6 life. It's now an 8, like, a 2-turn clock to end the game. But we don't play Magic like that anymore, so it doesn't...
Hold on.
It doesn't have any relevance, right?
Let me look up... Okay, this Roots deck, by the way, is not... It's not like a tier 5, like I didn't update my standard deck.
It's like a low tier 2 probably, somewhere in that range. But it's like a real, like, not top tier, but real deck.
It's got some finishes, right?
It's just always been a staple in Modern decks for, like, the longest time.
But it's
high-powered format. Where it's
but
like
that is historical relevance.
No
That's
one
historical
Eidolon
relevance.
Eidolon was meta, okay? Like, no one thought about it.
No. I agree there. But Scooze, the difference here, Scooze is played today, which is why it's not retirement home. It's currently played. It's still better than all. I would say I would main deck this, right? Like,
it's
I do not feel embarrassed to main deck. And I would say the same of Eidolon, except for me. Actually, no, I kind of am embarrassed to main deck an Eidolon in 2026. But not Scooze. Not Scooze.
Oh, all right. So where are we gonna end with this Scooze?
Bottom of A.
Richard's,
bottom of A.
Richard's
if you're
down
not gonna
here,
give me a buff
Krim's
Thalia, it's gotta be bottom of A.
Okay.
I personally put it above Thalia.
Bottom of A.
We'll go Eidolon shade.
Hey, if you want, you can move Eidolon up to the top of B. All right.
Maybe we should move Eidolon up to make it look more reasonable.
Okay. Like that. Then I think any other changes before we wrap up our hate beer tier list? I feel like that actually looks kind of realistic.
Good.
That doesn't look bad to me. We ended up with an S tier card, a Hushbringer tier card, a big retirement tier, and then a bunch of pretty good stuff in the middle. So, anyway, that is our Hate Bear tier list. And that's our podcast for today. No fish mail this week, but we're going to get back to it in the future. Richard, how do people send in fish mail for when we start doing it again?
All right. Hit us up at MTGGoldfish with the hashtag MTGFishMail, and we'll get to your questions on air.
And that brings us to the end of episode 569 of the MTG Goldfish podcast. So, Richard Grimm, thanks for hanging out. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to our sponsors for supporting the show. Let us know in the comments what we got right, what we got wrong, how you would rank these hate bears. Is there anything else that should be on the list? Let us know that, too. And we'll be back next week to do it all again. So, until then, have a lovely week, everyone. And this is the crew signing out.